Welcome back to the third installment of Shakespeare in the Wrong Hands. We now find ourselves in Verona, Italy, just below Juliet's balcony, to be exact, where we find this love-struck young man, none other than her Romeo, who is about to encounter someone he, nor I might add you, could have anticipated.
My apologies, my young lord.
And who might you be?
You can call me Casanova, but I'm really of no one of any consequence.
Then what is it you seek in this place?
Exit, my good man, exit. If thou would be so kind as to point me to the nearest gate.
My direction will do thee no good.
If it is a good direction, it will do me a great deal of good.
Only if thou art a phantom.
How so, my young friend?
All gates are locked at the stroke of 12.
Then perhaps thou would be so kind as to provide me with a leg up, and I will disappear into the night, as though I were a phantom.
Leave this very place. I cannot.
Art thou a prisoner?
Only of my lady's smile.
A damsel.
The fairest eyes I have ever gazed upon.
So ere thee stand in darkness, lit only by a pale moon, waiting for a sign, a signal perhaps, that the husband of the lady in question is otherwise occupied?
Oh no, 'tis not so.
I'm truly sorry to hear such.
I would never dally with another man's wife.
Other men's wives are the only wives with which one should dally.
And dishonour the holy bands of matrimony?
Never. No man honours the bonds of matrimony more than I.
I am pleased to hear such.
Without the marriage, there would be no married women. And the world without the married women would be a sad and empty place.
Indeed.
A marriage is like a beautiful garden. Would thou agree?
I would.
And the garden must be constantly tended to. Would thou also agree?
I would.
But left to neglect, a garden will wither and die.
True.
And in this age, most husbands, it's sad to behold, pay little attention to the tending of the marriage garden.
'Tis sad, indeed.
If the garden is to blossom into full ripeness, 'tis the wife, then, who must see to its tender care.
Spoken well.
So it is only in the service of the restoring the bloom to the rose that is the married woman, that I enter her garden to plough her neglected fallow.
I know thee, don't I? I have seen thee before.
I am not of this city.
Mercutio didst point thee out when once we did visit Venice. Thou art Casanova.
At your service.
Mercutio said there is not a woman in all of Christendom that trusts thee.
Indeed.
And this thou freely admits?
Why else would so many extend me invitation to attend them in their boudoir?
Is that what thou art doing here this night? Attending another man's wife in her boudoir?
No longer, I am a sad turnipot.
Scorned by a woman, much offended?
Chased by a husband, much more surprised.
Thou dishonour a woman and expect me to aid thy retreat?
A dishonour? By showing my appreciation of what her husband so foolishly ignores, why, I pay her the highest of honour.
Thou art quick of tongue.
Exactly what the lady was saying before we were so rudely interrupted.
Thou art base and carnal.
Before passing a judgment, my young lord, hear me out.
Do I have a choice?
Thou couldst aid my escape and render me speechless.
And miss a glance of my love's fair visage.
I will speak quickly. Whilst a woman young and virginous sets marriage as the price for the gift of her virtue, a married woman has no virtue to make a gift of, and no need of marriage, thereby pleasure being its own reward. A woman with a husband has so much to offer and asks so little in return.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks?
Excuse me?
'Tis the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Ah, up there, I see. Thou speak of the truth. Your maiden is fair indeed. If she was but married, I would gladly be your rival.
I must speak to her.
Thou must not speak.
How will she know my feelings?
If thou art to find success with maiden fair, thou must never reveal thy true feelings.
But she must know I love her.
She must only know that she loves thee. When engaging the fairer sex, young lord, take thy satisfaction in harvesting the fruit. 'Tis not necessary to own the orchard.
She speaks, yet she says nothing.
It is what women do. Thou art young, but thou wilt become accustomed. It fallen under the heading. If thou cared for me, thou couldst read my mind.
Look!
What? Where?
Two of the fairest stars in all the heaven, having some business to entreat her eyes to twinkle in their spheres till they return.
Be careful how they call us, you're my young lord. You scare us the very clap out of me.
What if her eyes were there, they in her head? The brightness of her cheek would shame those stars, as daylight doth a lamp. Her eyes in heaven would through the airy regions stream so bright that birds would sing and think it were not night.
Fortunately for us, it is a night. What do you say we hide, eh? Before the sun doth rises.
Oh, see how she leans her cheek upon her hand.
Great cheek leaning, never better. Let's hide.
Thou hast a smile so bright, thou couldst have been a candle. I wouldst hold thee so tight, thou couldst have been a handle.
Be strong, young lord. You must resist the temptations.
She speaks.
They do that from time to time.
O Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo?
Who is this Romeo of whom she speaks?
I am Romeo.
Nice to meet you, young Romeo.
Deny thy father and refuse thy name, or, if thou wilt not, be but sworn, my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
What did she just say?
Deny thy father.
No, the last part.
And I will no longer be a Capulet.
She is a Capulet?
She is Juliet, daughter of Lord and Lady Capulet.
Oh, boy.
Thou knowest the Capulets?
Let's say I am a familiar.
With my true love's father.
Your true love's father is not the Capulet of whom I have become a familiar.
You and... Oh, I do not believe it. Thou and Lady Capulet?
Thou thinkest a woman the likes of a Lady Capulet banks up at the fires of her passion upon the saying of her wedding vows.
She is the mother of...
She is a woman, young Romeo.
Thou and Lady Capulet.
Dost thou not understand the urgency of my exit before these walls make prisoners of us both?
'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man.
What does she speak?
Our families hate each other.
Oh, be some other name.
From what I know of the Capulets, that is a very good advice.
What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Be careful, my young friend. Roses get pruned on a regular basis, no?
My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I it written, I would tear the word.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore?
Just stumbled in by mistake. I will be gone in a nonce, nonce and a half.
The orchard wells are high and hard to climb, and the place death. Considering who thou art, if any of my kinsmen do see thee, they will murder thee.
Listen to the little lady.
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20 of their swords.
It only takes a one.
I have knight's cloak to hide from their sight.
They have torches.
I am no pilot, yet wert thou as far as the vast shore washed with the farthest sea, I would adventure for such merchandise.
I'll give you that. The merchandise is first late. If I were 20 years younger, make that 10 years younger. But alas, I am not getting any younger, and it is my firm desire to get a great deal older.
Oh, Romeo, dost thou love me?
'Tis a fool's question. Be careful.
I know they will say aye, and I will take thy word.
Perfecto. She thinks you love her, but you haven't actually come out and said so. If keepeth the door open, but provides thee with complete liability.
Oh, gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it faithfully.
Pronounce, and thou wilt be entering territory from which no man hath yet returned.
Good night, good night. As sweet repose and rest come to thy heart, as that within my breast.
And on the breast reference, we are out of here.
Three words, dear Romeo, and good night indeed.
Three words. The day I encounter a female who will limit herself to three words is the day I take the vows.
If that thy bent of love be honourable, thy purpose marriage, send me word tomorrow.
A marriage? What have I been telling thee? Nohe, noni, noni, until the ring is on the finger, eh?
'Tis almost morning.
She's a lighter. We must hurry from this place.
Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Did you hear that? She sorrows over our parting.
That's good. Always leaving them wanting more.
This way.
The Capulets, let us make haste.
Has thou ever been in love, Casanova? Hast thou?
Si. Once I loved, now can we hurry?
If thou couldst love once, thou could love again.
Could be. Who knows? Can we hurry, please? Pronto.
Oi, over here.
Fear not the Capulets, my friend. We will soar high above their puny, flighted darts on the wings of love.
Wings of love. To be young. Maybe he's a writer. Maybe a life dedicated to seeking entrance to milady's boudoir is a life wasted and empty.
Casanova! Casanova!
Now what the hell? You only live once, right? Caprice?
Love. Sometimes true, sometimes not. We hope you've enjoyed the third installment of Shakespeare in the Wrong Hands. Pray join us next time when we take you on a journey most foul.
You've been listening to the BBB radio play Shakespeare in the Wrong Hands, our adaptation of the Bruce Kane production. This BBB radio play was directed by Paul Paulinus and recorded and produced at the BBB studios by Ben Edwards and Steve Jones.